Let's go to Pip Adam, who's standing by in the Wellington studio. Hi.
Kia ora, Jesse. How are you?
Kia ora, not in the Wellington studio at all, but by phone. Nice to hear from you. You've noticed all these Catch-22 billboards around. I've noticed them too.
Yeah, I just noticed it the other day. I was walking into town and I noticed there's a new TV series based on Catch-22, the novel by Joseph Heller. It's a satirical novel. And I was just thinking about war, and I was thinking about war and books. And it made me think of this Toni Morrison quote, which says, "Language can never pin down slavery, genocide, war, nor should it yearn for the arrogance to be able to do so. Its force, its felicity, is in its reach toward the ineffable." And I was thinking about three works that I've read recently that really demonstrate this kind of reach towards things that just can't be uttered.
Yes, and perhaps at this stage I can invite listeners to send me a message with books that they've read about war, fiction books that they've found particularly moving or effective at evoking war or otherwise useful examples of this. So do send us a text to 21001 and we'll make a little list, and Pip's list is always a pretty good start. You're going to begin with Catch-22, Pip.
Well, I could talk about Catch-22, but what I might do is shift in a segue motion towards the essay that sort of Catch-22 took me to, which is an essay by Giacomo Lechner. It's going to appear in Overland Journal, and it's called 10 Fragments of Primo Levi.
Right.
And this is about the work of the... he was a chemist, he was a writer, and a Holocaust survivor, Primo Levi. July the 31st marks the 100th anniversary of his birth, and in honour of this, Giacomo has written this amazing essay about Levi's memoir, which is called If This Is Man. So, I don't know, have you read Primo Levi before?
It seems very familiar to me, but I'm just having a look through his bibliography, and I don't recall that I have, no. Tell us about him.
His work is often used when people are talking about war. He wrote some incredible poetry. He also wrote a book called The Periodic Table, which is how I first learnt about him, which is this very interesting book of short stories where each title is an element from the periodic table. But his memoir, If This Is Man, is one of the most amazing works around the Holocaust. Mm. And he was arrested in the mountains as a revolutionary fighter in Italy and taken to Auschwitz. And he was taken there, I think, in 1944. So it was just, he was actually there for the liberation of the camp by the Russian soldiers as well. And his work stands out, as Giacomo points out in his essay, because it is very, it's almost scientific in its prose. I hadn't read the memoir, but last night I actually started reading it and read until way too late because it's just one of the most amazing things I think I've ever read about war in my life.
In what way?
Well, I think that Giacomo gives sort of 10 reasons to reread this novel, and I think that one of the most compelling reasons is the way that he... Levi doesn't sort of, it's almost like it's that thing that Morrison talks about. He doesn't sort of try to find meaning in it. And I think that sometimes with horrible things, we try to find meaning so that we can understand it, so that we can stop it from happening again.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Levi is far more sort of crystal in his look, you know, and I think that's where his background as a chemist comes in, where he is really trying to observe rather than, trying to give us some feeling that everything will be all right from here on in. And he captures a lot of the confusion, a lot of the everyday of the war, which is quite outstanding and amazing. Like, there's an incredible part in the first part of the memoir where he talks about they were in the camp before they were taken to Auschwitz, and everything carried on as normal that night, except the kids weren't given homework. And it's just these kind of chilling details that he notices. Mm. That, there's something very different from some of the more emotional sort of things I've read about this particular time of history.
I presume the Holocaust and the concentration camps form a pretty big part of his memoir, right, as it would have dominated his life, not just during the time, but afterwards too.
Yeah, the memoir actually starts with him in the camp and, you know, the confusion around where they're going. And, yeah, it is. It leads right up to, like I say, the liberation of the camp, which also was not as clear-cut as sort of fences being broken down by the Russian army. It was a lot more complicated. And I think that his work really holds this complication.
Okay, so this new essay about the memoir, how does this fit in?
Oh, well, it is coming out soon. It's called 10 Fragments of Primo Levi, and it's by Giacomo Lechner, and it comes out in paper copy and overland sort of sometime in mid-July, but it will be online from the 31st of July.
Uh-huh. Have you read it?
Yes, I have, and it is an outstanding essay, and I think a very good way in, if people are interested in his work at all, or interested in this time in history, it's a really good way of looking through Giacomo's eyes into the work that Levi does. So, yeah, it's a pretty outstanding essay.
Do you know much about Giacomo?
Yes, I do. Giacomo teaches history up at Victoria University, and my understanding is that his scholarship interests are film and the Holocaust. So, like, and he is Italian, and I think he's Italian. Gosh, I may be. Whoops. But so, yeah, he's got this very interest, this big interest in sort of the cultural life of the Holocaust as well as the actual event.
Man, I've got loads and loads of war books being suggested.
Right.
Can I just mention a couple of the ones that are coming up multiple times? Birdsong by Sebastian Foulkes.
Yes.
All the Light We Cannot See. A lot of people have mentioned that one. You come across that one before?
No, I haven't. That sounds great. I'm jotting it down.
All the Light You Cannot See, or All the Light We Cannot See, an incredible book from the perspective of a blind child in the war, says Kirsty. Michael Ondaatje, War Lights. English Patient, of course. Yeah, okay. A good list here. We may see if we can cut and paste it and put it online for people who are interested in. What else have you got your eye on?
Well, I'm going to go from one war to another sort of atrocity. I've sort of been living in atrocity for a little while, and talk about Ocean Vuong's new book, On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous, which has just been published about, I think it was last month that it was published. So Ocean Vuong is a Vietnam writer who spent some time in a refugee camp in the Philippines when he was a young boy, and he has written this masterful novel about sort of the ongoing repercussions of what the West call the Vietnam War, but of course the Vietnamese call the American War. And it's just the most...
Probably everyone else knows that. I'd never heard that before.
Oh, yeah, I think they call it the Rebellion Against the American Invaders War or something, and then American War for short, which I think is a really good place to start. You know, like, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, Vietnam was this just towering moment in cultural history. You know, like, I was just thinking back, you know, Magnum P.I. had been a Vietnam vet. It was Full Metal Jacket, Apocalypse Now, Tour
Platoon.
Of Duty.
Platoon. Yeah, Tour of Duty, right, yeah. Was China Beach, China Beach, was that Vietnam too?
I think it was. I'm unsure. I will probably find out it's Korea. Someone will tell us. But yeah, so I feel like I understand the Vietnam War a lot from the American side and the trauma that it sort of sits in a generation of people here. But what I think is particular about Vuong's book is that this is completely from the point of view of a Vietnamese family who has moved to America, and sort of that relocation that happens through intermarriage and, you know, children that are half American. And it sort of touches on these ideas of post-traumatic stress disorder, and just the way that immigration is hard, and also the long-running effects that have happened in Vietnam that have often forced a lot of people to America, and then when they come to America, life, you know, is difficult there as well. So it's an incredible book.
Yeah. So how did you come across it?
Oh, I really love Ocean Vuong's work. He's written three collections. He writes poetry and essay, and he is just one of my favourite writers in the whole wide world. He's incredible. If people want to know a little bit about him, he was actually on the Seth Meyers Late Night Show, and if you just Googled Seth Meyers and Ocean Vuong, you could see him talking, and he says some beautiful things in that
Quite a brave guest for a late night US talk show.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not a lot of laugh.
Yeah.
He is actually a very funny man. Like he, he's incredible. And I think that this is another thing about this reach for the ineffable, like the way that this book sort of tries to look at this absolute, you know, trauma that runs through and through people of that generation from Vietnam and further on, is that it makes this leap to a sort of non-linear novel. It's written in letter form. It's written to the narrator's mother. And, yeah, it's just incredible. It puts, you know, there's one scene where it puts extreme cruelty to an animal alongside, you know, a roadside stop for his grandmother. And, yeah, there's just, it's an amazing piece of writing. Like, it's upsetting, but you know, I think a lot of people that are reading it are finding it brings tears, but it is a magnificent book. And sort of both these books, Levy and this book, seem like a good book for this time where we're starting to make immigration harder in some places. And, yeah, their tolerance is perhaps a little wanting in some areas.
Have you come across a book, another one various people have recommended, called The Narrow Road to the Deep North by Richard Flanagan?
Yes, I have. Richard Flanagan is an amazing writer.
Mm.
And he did an incredible interview with Kim Hill a while ago that I remember that I just found it stopped me in my tracks. I was walking and he said this beautiful thing about writers being there to witness. And I just think, yeah, he's an amazing writer. That's an incredible book, yeah.
Yeah. Group of Australian POWs during World War II. We are, by the way, Mary, our executive producer, is collating all these suggestions of books about war, and we'll put them up on the website. So if you find today's show, you'll see a list under Pip's recommendations as well. Finally, Moetu, Sleeps Standing, a story of the Battle of Oroko.
Yes. Now,
I gave this to my co-host, Kanor, actually, because it was such a beautiful book and I thought she would like it. Because is this the one with the English next to the Te Reo Māori?
Exactly, yeah. So this is a book that came out in 2016, but the soft cover version has just come out, so I feel like we can talk about it again. This is a book by Witi'i Hamaida with Hemi Kelly, who's an incredible Te Reo teacher. I've had the benefit of being in one of his classes,
But
also a magnificent translator. So the book is this mix of kind of fiction, non-fiction, waiata, and also at the core of it is this novella by Witi'i Hamaida, which is about an Australian relative's return home and his desire to use this name Moetu, which he found in some papers, and that leads back to this incredible retelling of the Battle of Ōrako. And, you know, again, I think that it's this interesting reach to the ineffable. You know, the New Zealand Wars sort of sits in an interesting way, I think, in New Zealand history. And this retelling, because it sort of is this kaleidoscope of different types of telling, sort of is reaching to sort of explain it to an audience that perhaps has not come across a lot of this, or perhaps has come across some interesting stories about Waikato. Of course, Ōrako is the battle that was, I think it was Rudel, I can't remember his last name, made Rewe's last stand. And that's where it's secured in a lot of people's minds, whereas this book by Ihamaida and Kelly sort of reinvigorates the story with slightly more complexity again.
Hey, have you come across, this is just one more for you, an author called Nico Walker?
No.
Nico Walker, an American author and U.S. Army veteran currently serving time in prison for bank robbery, and he's got a semi-autobiographical debut novel called Cherry, which a couple of people have mentioned as...
Oh, I have heard of Cherry. I didn't realise that backstory to the author. Man, that sounds amazing.
Yes, gut-wrenching, according to one of our listeners.
I can only imagine.
Written in prisoners and... As I recall, Pip, you may have written a short story yourself about a soldier coming back from war, so you might be interested in the subject matter.
Yeah, I really am. It always interests me. There's a fantastic short story which is called The Pugilist at Rest, and I've also really enjoyed... you know, I think that Americans have a great tradition, especially Vietnam was such a massive disruption, I think, to culture over there, that there is a very good tradition of writing about war. And unfortunately, America feels like it's been at war for such a long time as well that we're starting to get these new this new work from Afghanistan and Iraq and places like that, which is just, it's heartbreaking, really.
Yeah, it's what happens when you see yourself as the world's sheriff, hey?
Yes. Too true.
Great. You're in great form today. Thanks so much.
Have a really lovely day. Thanks, Pete.
So if you needed to get down those book titles, they are on our website, rnz.co.nz/Jesse, and we will work on a list of listener suggestions, of which we've got dozens and dozens. So thank you for people who took the time. Chicken Hawk, another one, recommended by various people. A most excellent book on helicopter flying in the Vietnam War, and Paul says he really, really recommends it. Thanks, Paul. 2101 to get in touch.